The future of unmanned aerial combat takes flight over Edwards. The Superjet 100 gets certified at home. And FAA and the Alphabet Groups study lead-free avgas. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 7th, 2011. NASA astronaut Mark Kelly resumes training as commander of the STS-134 space shuttle mission effective today. With the exception of some proficiency training, Kelly has been on personal leave since January 8th to care for his wife, Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who was critically wounded in an assassination attempt in Tucson, Arizona. Northrop Grumman and the U.S. Navy report the successful first flight of the X-47B UCASD, or Unmanned Combat Air System Demonstration Aircraft, that happened over Edwards Air Force Base in California on Friday. The partners say takeoff came at 2:09 p.m. Pacific time, and the flight lasted 29 minutes. This is no glorified RC model. The X-47B is 38 feet long, has a max takeoff weight of 44,000 pounds, and is capable of high subsonic speeds. Friday's flight follows a series of tests to verify the airworthiness of the design, which uses no tail. Starting in 2013, the program plans to demonstrate the first-ever carrier launches and recoveries by an autonomous unmanned aircraft with a low-observable relevant planform, as well as unmanned refueling in both Navy and Air Force configurations. It's been said the last human U.S. military pilot has been born. It's not hard to imagine that within 20 years, all combat flying may be done by machines. The Blue Angels won't be quite the same. In a ceremony on Thursday in Moscow, the Sukhoi Superjet 100 officially got its type certificate from the Russian Certification Authority. The manufacturer says the certification campaign included about 200 individual static, fatigue, and flight tests. Four flying jets have accumulated 2,594 flight hours in 1,087 flights. The Superjet 100 is the first Russian aircraft to complete EMF testing in Italy, in collaboration with Alenia Aeronautica. EASA certification is expected later this year. The FAA has formed an ARC, or Aviation Rulemaking Committee, to provide recommendations to further the development and deployment of an unleaded avgas with the least impact on the existing piston engine aircraft fleet. The Unleaded Avgas Transition Aviation Rulemaking Committee will bring together aircraft and engine manufacturers, fuel producers and distributors, operator groups, aviation associations, the FAA and the EPA, GAMA, AOPA, EAA, NBAA, NATA, and petrochemical industry associations all petitioned for such a committee. Up next on ANN, Air Evac Life Team acquires Life Air, Comair signs for new 737s, and Exojet teams up with Heliflight in New York. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 7th. I'm Paul Plack. Life Air, which operates air ambulance bases in Portsmouth and Chillicothe, Ohio, has been acquired by Air Evac Life Team, an air medical provider headquartered in West Plains, Missouri. Air Evac Life Team CEO Seth Myers says the air ambulance bases in Ohio will continue to operate under the Life Air name, and customers should expect to see a seamless transition. He adds it is Air Evac Life Team's intention to employ the medical, pilot, and maintenance staff at the two bases in Ohio. An order for 8 next-generation 737-800s has been placed with Boeing by Comair Limited, which plans to use the planes to update the fleet of its low-fare airline, Kalulu.com. The planes are valued at $646 million at current list prices. The order previously was attributed to an unidentified customer on Boeing's orders and deliveries website. Exojet has opened an office in New York City, located at 2 Grand Central Station. The new office is centrally located in Manhattan and the company says it's specifically designed to better service for its New York and tri-state customer base. ExoJet Chief Operating Officer Dave Cox explains, quote, New York is not only the largest private aviation market in the world, it is also one of the most sophisticated. It isn't a coincidence that New York is where ExoJet is experiencing our greatest growth, which was in excess of 70% year over year in Q4, unquote. ExoJet also announced that Gila Flight has become a premier partner, offering helicopter transportation from heliports in Manhattan and throughout the area to Teterboro, White Plains, and Farmingdale. ExoJet customers will now have a choice when scheduling flights to choose car or helicopter service to and from the airport, and are promised both a seamless integrated service and preferred pricing. In a presentation at the Wichita Aero Club luncheon on Thursday, the Lindbergh Foundation announced the Aviation Green Alliance, a new program that brings stakeholders together to address aviation's environmental challenges. Foundation Chairman Larry Williams explains, quote, the Aviation Green Alliance has been formed to support aviation-related companies and individuals committed to proactively addressing matters regarding aviation and the environment. It's important for the world to know that manufacturers, operators, service companies, and individuals in aviation are quite actively involved in making measurable, scalable, and valuable environmental progress, unquote. Foundation activities will include dissemination of aviation environmental news and information, grant funding for promising technologies, and education and outreach programs. Find out more at aviationgreen.com. Still ahead, TSA workers will get collective bargaining. DHS wants to screen general aviation aircraft. And FAA reauthorization continues to be held hostage. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 7th. I'm Paul Plack. Apologies in advance, this last segment's kind of a bummer. All four stories are set in Washington, D.C. Ignoring promises made to the American people when the agency was created, TSA Administrator John Pistol is greenlighting collective bargaining for employees. Representative John Mica of Florida, a Republican who was instrumental in the creation of TSA, commented, quote, this will be President Obama's biggest gift to organized labor, unquote, and calls it, quote, all bad news for the traveler, the taxpayer, and aviation security, unquote. The fear is that unionization will limit the flexibility of the agency. Pistol insists not so, quote, the safety of the traveling public is our top priority, and we will not negotiate on security. But morale and employee engagement cannot be separated from achieving superior security. If security officers vote to move forward with collective bargaining, this framework will ensure TSA retains the capability and flexibility necessary to respond to evolving threats and continue improving employee engagement, performance, and professional development, unquote. Because, after all, what's better for morale than an atmosphere of constant grievance filings and slacker coworkers protected in their jobs in perpetuity? If you think TSA is a nuisance now, wait till employees figure out that getting fired actually means 6 weeks off with back pay awarded when they return. Pistol's framework would allow bargaining at the national level only, and not on topics such as security policies, procedures, or the deployment of security personnel or equipment, pay, pensions, and any form of compensation, proficiency testing, job qualifications, or discipline standards. Transportation security officers would be prohibited from striking or engaging in work slowdowns of any kind. Other union shops get around that one with what's become known as work-to-rule protests, in which everyone is technically doing his job, but at the minimum pace required by the letter of the contract. The difference from a slowdown is largely semantic. More than 13,000 TSOs are currently paying dues to one or more labor unions, but those unions have been limited to providing personal rather than collective representation and cannot bargain on behalf of the officers. The Department of Homeland Security has concluded that there is a general aviation screening problem. That apparently is all it takes to launch another attack on the freedoms and prosperity of U.S. citizens. DHS has reached into its Science and Technology Directorate's Small Business Innovative Research Slush Fund and awarded a contract to American Science and Engineering to design and build a prototype device to screen general aviation aircraft for contraband. The prototype will combine AS&E's advanced Z backscatter technology with a portable platform to provide complete aircraft coverage in what's claimed to be an efficient one-man operation. Presumably, bringing your aircraft onto any airport will now be considered your consent to search and seizure. The U.S. National Park Service has released a draft plan to address the impacts of aircraft noise on park resources and the visitor experience. It's formally called a Draft Environmental Impact Statement, Special Flight Rules Area in the vicinity of Grand Canyon National Park. Public comments are due by June 6th. The National Parks Overflights Act was passed in 1987 to provide for substantial restoration of the natural quiet and experience of Grand Canyon National Park and for the protection of public health and safety from aircraft overflights. That required first a definition of quiet. The Park Service's draft says that exists when, quote, reduction of noise from aircraft operations at or below 17,999 feet mean sea level results in 50% or more of the park achieving natural quiet, i.e. no aircraft audible, for 75% to 100% of the day, each and every day. The service considers 50% of the park a minimum restoration goal, unquote. A well-developed aerial sightseeing industry currently carries 400,000 visitors a year over the area to see the beauty below. In order to strike a balance there, the service would like to see a cap on daily flights, higher minimum altitudes, and other measures. Existing GA corridors for transiting the area would not be changed, but free flights would be banned below 18,000 MSL. You can read more detail, including where the public meetings will be held, in the text version of this story, dated February 5th, at aero-news.net. And finally, EAS, the Federal Essential Air Service Program, which subsidizes airline feeder service to about 100 small communities with too little demand to attract the airlines, has been decried as flights to nowhere, and Arizona Senator John McCain last week introduced an amendment to FAA reauthorization that would end EAS. In response, Senate Commerce Committee Chairman John D. Rockefeller IV has vowed to fight tooth and nail to protect EAS. Quote, this proposal is a non-starter. I have seen time and again how important the EAS program is to the economic development of small communities. It attracts businesses, supports jobs, and provides a vital connection to the global marketplace. It makes no sense to end a program that creates so much economic value, unquote. EAS was a sort of mini-entitlement program that was thrown in to gain the votes needed for approval of airline deregulation in the 1970s. It's one of a number of amendments clogging passage of permanent FAA reauthorization. But at least it has something to do with aviation. Another proposed amendment last week would add a limit on the sales of ammo clips over a certain size to the FAA bill. Second Amendment enthusiasts see it as a payback by the Dems for GOP attempts to include repeal of Obamacare into other unrelated bills. ANN has been unable to confirm rumors that the FAA will start calling next-gen when-gen. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airways explains the difference between the practical test standards and proficiency. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.